And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one, Alabama. And I'm talking about, like, wow, this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We got, beautiful weather coming up for the weekend. I just checked it out a minute ago. I'm going to be at that charity shoot on Saturday morning for Moms for Liberty up there in the Athens area, Old South Shooting Range, I believe it is. But I'm looking forward to that. You can still go on their Facebook page, I believe, if you want to be there too. But I'm talking about the weather's going to be perfect for it. Perfect. Okay, a couple more texts and I'll dive right into my topic. Brian from Huntsville says, we are often too quick to judge. Quick to anger, slow to understand. I get it. You're right. And then he says, Rush from their song Witch Hunt. I thought that was from the book of James, but okay. Leanne from Huntsville says, Happy Friday Eve. Got to say, I really have an uneasy feeling every time I hear the news about the wars. Am I the only one who's dreading the unknown? I keep praying. Leanne, I agree with that. I think you keep your head on a swivel. I find myself doing the same thing. What's going to happen over there? What's going to happen over there? But you know what? The people who are constantly looking, not getting paranoid, is a difference. It's one thing to have your head on a swivel and to be aware of your surroundings and aware of your times. It's another thing to live in fear. And we know, and I'm going off the cuff here, but I think it's 1 Timothy 4:12, I believe. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and self-discipline. Meaning that we are not to live in fear as we, you know, have him at the center of what we do, that he's given us a spirit of power, meaning that we can have control over these things in his name, love, meaning that we can still love people, and also have self-discipline, meaning that we can keep ourselves in order while we do so. And so anyway, blessings on you, Leanne. Fear not. Jeff from Indiana says, Billy Squire was one of the first concerts I ever went to in my life. It was great. Love his music. But yeah, one screw up and you're dead. And he was that guy. All right, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. So this first part of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it Keep Your Head on a Swivel. And here's the article that inspired that one. I pulled it off of hotair.com, but you can find it in other places. By the way, the resources are up. Boom Shakalaka is the guy who puts them up every day. I find the stories that I want to use for the dippers. I send them in. Alicia puts them on paper for me so I can rattle them and mark them up. And Boomer always takes them and puts them up on the website. So as you're, if you go to rightsideradio.org, there's a tab that says live stream. You can actually watch the video of inside the studio. And then right above it is a button that says resources. So every dipper's got all of its stuff and you can grab it there if you want it. Keep Your Head on a Swivel is number one. The story that inspired it is this one from hotair.com, dated yesterday afternoon. It says, a worldwide terror spree this Friday? Here's the deal. One of the founding members of the Hamas Politburo, their leadership, a guy named Khalid Mashal, is calling for a worldwide uprising of Muslims in support of Hamas. In this, he echoes and expands upon Hamas's leadership in the Gaza Strip's call for a local uprising called the Friday of the Al-Aqsa Flood, which is to include, allegedly, a takeover of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's the Temple Mount, all right, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's the, they call it the Dome of the Rock. Anyway, it's the central, it's the flashpoint. It's the place that used to be where the Jewish temple was, and now one of the key sites in all of Islam. So on October 10th, 2023, Hamas issued a statement designated the upcoming Friday, that's tomorrow, as a day of general mobilization for the Al-Aqsa flood operations. In the statement, it urged Palestinians in the West Bank and within Israel to participate in large-scale rallies and confront Israeli soldiers. Mashal, the guy I told you about a minute ago, he actually, and I don't know why, he lives in Qatar. He doesn't live in Palestine. He lives in Qatar. He called for Palestinians and Muslims all around the world to, in his words, shed blood and become martyrs for the cause. All right. The article points out he doesn't explicitly call for terrorism, but it's pretty easy to read between the lines. I mean, when you got a guy who's the head of the organization that's beheading babies and raping women and killing innocent people in the street, when you got a guy who's doing that, whose organization is doing that, and he calls for all Palestinians and Muslims around the world to shed blood and become martyrs for the cause. Now, first of all, I also think he's spitting in the wind. I don't think we're going to see like some kind of, there's a subculture that's ready out there and they've been waiting for the call. Do I believe there's pockets that are? Yes. Do I believe that there are idiots out there who would grab it as their personal moment? Yes. Do I think there's going to be a worldwide uprising with some kind of organized intent? I don't think so, no. But I will say this, I think you need to keep your head on a swivel. Especially in some of the major metropolitan areas, I think you need to keep your head on a swivel. What was that quote you had a minute ago, Boomer? You said somebody sent you, and you were reading it to me. And who was it that actually said that? Do you recall?
You mean one.
All right, he's going to look it up. But it's in line with what we're talking about. By the way, in the article also points out, it says, of immediate concern, of course, is the prospect of Muslims in foreign countries taking up the challenge that's been laid down to them and going beyond demonstrations of support for Hamas and their terrorism in Israel and committing acts of terror wherever they live. So, yes, I would say this. If I were the mayor of any town, I would be telling my police chief that he needs to dust off his contingency plans, make sure he has staffing in place for the weekend, and keep their heads on a swivel. I think citizens need to do the same. It's one of those where if you see something, say something. And by the way, I get how dicey this can be. I mean, I have friends from the Middle East. I have friends that are Muslim. And I get that it can be dicey when you go, well, I'm afraid of saying something because they might think that I'm being racist because I saw that and it looked unusual to me. Well, there are certain behaviors that are unusual no matter who does it. So what I'm saying is keep your head on a swivel, see something, say something. You got that quote? What was that quote you read to me earlier?
Basically the leaders of Hamas invited. This is basically one of their quotes. And okay. It says, funds are important, but today we are asking for your blood and your souls.
Blood and souls. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they were saying you can send us monetary support, but what's really important right now is blood and souls.
Yeah. You can take that a lot of different ways.
Yeah, you can. So here's one of the things that I think makes us have to keep our heads on a swivel is the Biden administration has been helping to fund this. The chief fund source for all of Hamas is Iran. Under the Trump administration, we had just about throttled Iran. I mean, we had put sanctions in place. We as a nation, we had put sanctions in place. We had let our allies in the same. We had strangled them in terms of their economy and in keeping them in more in check. And they also recognized, by the way, when we took out Soleimani, that President Trump was not to be trifled with. Since then, I'm amazed at some of the things that have been done to sort of loose the hounds, if you will, by the Biden administration. So you've been hearing a lot about the $6 billion, right? And if you just haven't been aware, I'll just say it again real quick. Just in the last, month, the Biden administration made a deal with the Iranians, and it was basically a hostage swap, except that on our end, it required not only giving them people they wanted, who had been tried and adjudged guilty in a court of law in the U.S., full due process. We not only gave them the people they wanted, the Biden administration also decided to release to them $6 billion, with a B, $6 billion that had been frozen of Iranian assets. Well, what does that do? Well, it just upfunds their ability to fund terrorism. Well, the Biden administration has been so quick to say, but no, we can't confirm that any of this has gone to terrorist activity. It's really not. Money is fungible. If I'm thinking about buying a burger for lunch, and Boomer gives me a $10 bill, I'm basically using $10, whether it's the one he gave me or the one that I had in my pocket already. Money's fungible. Either way, I wind up with a burger and $10. Well, the same thing's happening there with Iran. Now, I just heard today, right before the show, that the Biden administration is now working with, I think it's the nation of Qatar. That will be the same nation that has been harboring fugitives and has some serious issues. But working with the nation of Qatar to see that those assets get refrozen, and I hope it's true. But here's this article from The Federalist. The Federalist. says the $6 billion that you've seen in every headline is only the money that's being transferred from our friends in Qatar. It's separate, though, from the $10 billion in assets being transferred from Iraq, which will go in on a rolling basis. Then there are reports that Iran will also be allowed now to access $7 billion in fiat currency by trading their drawing rights with the International Monetary Fund. And Japan is also scheduled to transfer $3 billion to Iran. And then, oh, by the way, the revelations that we are determining do not end there. U.S. officials have also quietly acknowledged they've uncapped Iranian oil exports to China. Really? These export that so basically that helps China and Iran. These export levels previously held around 775,000 barrels per day are now going to be estimated at 1.4 to 2.2 million a day, which estimates another $25 billion annually to Iran. Total, $50 billion that has been released by the Biden administration for the benefit of Iran. Point out in the article here on The Federalist, it's like giving a thug a loaded machine gun, expecting him not to shoot the bullets. But this is like, they say it's peeling back only the first layer of deception in the Biden administration's policies. So apparently we've learned that top officials in the U.S. government have been favoring Iran having nuclear power. A series of recently leaked emails have focused on a lady named Ariana Tabatai, or Tabatai, or something like that, the chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense for Special Operations. What? Who vets these people? My gosh, when I had my TSSCI clearance and worked in the basement of the Pentagon, it got to the point of just about having body cavity searches to be allowed to go to the places and do the things that I was doing. You've got people like this that are out there advocating for Iran, and they're the chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense for Special Operations? Come on. Messages show her involvement with the Iran Experts Initiative, a direct Iranian government initiative to allegedly improve their images abroad. Well, it's believed that Iran is building a facility so deep underground that it would be virtually impenetrable to airstrikes. And they haven't even slowed down their enrichment of uranium during all this. And we just released $50 billion to them in their struggling economy. That's great. Keep your head on a swivel, though, is even more than that. I'm going to give you some more to think about when we come back from this break. I got a little more on things that are happening at other places and what is being said and what is being done that helps upfund and in sort of enrage and empower the bad guys. But what about people here in the U.S. that you look at and go, well, what are you doing? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. I'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense like a superpower. I tell you what, is online. Is Alan on the line right now? Yeah, line whatever he's on. Alan is on. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yeah.
Got a little story to tell you.
All right.
Two of my five cousins that lived in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
One of them packed up, moved to Collingwood, Tennessee.
Okay.
Well, the other one moved to Coleman, Alabama. So this summer I had a conversation with Linda, and she said that she became so afraid in the Dearborn area that she finally packed up and said, the heck with it, sold everything she had and moved down here.
Well,
we'd come down in the summertime and spend time with our grandparents, and she said she loved it here. Well, so when she retired, she told her two boys, I'm out of here. I'm going to Alabama. And she did. She sold everything she had and moved to Coleman.
Well,
she cannot believe how it has changed. Shopping centers, malls are gone. You did business between 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning till about 4. You couldn't even go out at night and eat dinner.
Yeah, I've got...
I've never owned a gun.
I've got family that lives up there right now, and it depends on where you are, but there are some definite cells, parts of the Michigan or Detroit area that are just, you know, the shine's off the apple, you know what I'm saying? But then there's other parts. There's a whole community called Royal Oak, which is just, like, gorgeous. And it's like living in Leave It to Beaver Town. But it just depends on where you are. But I'm glad she found the best place in the world, which is right down here.
Well, that's what she said. She said she'd never owned a firearm in her life. She became so skittish. She bought one about 6 years ago. She's been down here a little over 3 years now. She said, I was afraid to, you know, go out and eat at night, and go to the movies, anything. She said it just, the, what it is, the stores have all and got Arabic writing on the majority of the stores in her area was that way. She said, I got scared. She said, the heck with it, I'm out of here.
Well, there's
one of her sons came with her. The other one stayed up there.
There's an article I'm about to get into here in a minute that that's got a big gathering that was in Dearborn, Michigan yesterday, supporting Hamas and chanting for Palestine, you know. But Alan, I tell you what, tell cousin Linda we're glad she's here. We'll take her.
All right. Yep. She's got the right kind of politics too.
Good enough. All right, Alan. We'll see you, man. Yeah, so I'm doing this whole first section here, this whole first dipper, keep your head on a swivel. And what he just described, I get it. There's, you know, I have found, okay, so I'm about to talk about Michigan again, I guess. I have found through family that lives up there right now that there's as many rednecks living in Michigan as are anywhere else. I mean, there's some good old boys and girls that live up there that in the communities are just as red-blooded American as anywhere else, except that there are major pockets of what I would call disenfranchised foreign-born citizens who come here and they don't grab the American dream. They just gripe about the American dream, and they talk about where they came from as if they want to go back, but they don't. And then they sort of foment anger within their own communities, and it creates a sort of a spiral. And you can find that in other places, but it's definitely in some big pockets in the Detroit area. Before I get back into, and I'm going to get into that in a moment because I've got an article here I'm about to pull up right now. But before I get too deep into that, I got to tell you this. We right now are looking at some situations in other parts of the world. Keep in mind, you've got right now Israel is surrounded by countries that hate Israel. And they're dealing with Hamas, which is coming out of the Gaza Strip. But then to their very north, they've got Hezbollah out of Palestine, out of Lebanon. And then they've also got Yemen. And Yemen is where the Houthis live. And the Houthis... Here's the motto of the Houthis. You ready for this? Their motto is, Allah is great, death to America, death to Israel, curse on the Jews, victory to Islam. That's their motto. Tells you who they are. And they're calling for terrorist strikes in and around the area and to not allow any peace and to make sure that they represent a small faction of the Yemeni people, but it's the squeaky wheel that's pulling the triggers. Well, so part of this whole discussion we're having that we'll finish up right after the break is on keep your head on a swivel. So you hear about this. Okay, you hear about Biden is allowing the funding to take place. It's helping upfund terrorism in other places. You've got, you know, what's happening with Israel and the tragedies, the absolute, the awfulness of what occurred in the last few days and what is still ongoing, by the way. They're still finding more. I mean, the death count is still growing. But then on top of that, you've got the neighboring countries in and around that region. Okay, when we get back, let's talk about why it matters to us here at home. Where are the sympathetic pockets that you look at and go, well, you didn't say anything that makes me feel good about you, so I guess my head on a swivel is now also here at home. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, we cover down on all the issues like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two, and we are covering down on the first dipper here. Keep your head on a swivel is what I'm calling it. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I will say this, Anita from South Huntsville just texted in, and she said, if he's out there tuning in, I'd like to hear from your listener in Dubai. Yeah, Marshall from Dubai. We have one of our listeners who streams the show every day from Dubai, or regularly from Dubai anyway. He says, if he's out there tuning in, I want to hear from your listener in Dubai. While Dubai's a little ways away from there, I wonder what he can share about the mood in that hemisphere. So, Marshall, if you're listening, we'd love a text that just tells us, you know, what the mood on the street is, so to speak. So keeping your head on a swivel, there are things that have been happening for years that have been creating the kind of fomented problematic issues that we are seeing in other parts of the world that we have to watch out for now. I told you earlier that there's been a call, which, by the way, I'm not trying to sensationalize this. I'm not trying to say something is going to happen. I'm just saying keeping your head on a swivel means stay aware of your surroundings. But there's been a call by leadership of Hamas to make Friday a worldwide day of martyrdom and mayhem, if you will. The quote that Boomer threw at me from a friend of his was they monetary donations are fine, but they want souls and blood that day. Then you got things like this. George Soros. George Soros has been notorious for funding organizations that hate America. He funded a group called Al-Shabaka. Between 2017 and 2021 alone, they got over $500,000 from his, you know, one of his, you know, do-gooder, no-gooder charitable organizations. Half a million. Who is Al-Shabaka? Well, first of all, keep in mind that Soros hates America anyway. But in 2007, this is reaching back a little bit, but in 2007, apparently, story on Newsbusters, Soros penned an op-ed in which he outrageously, it says, called on America and Israel to open the doors to Hamas and to let them all in. It says that was following the Hamas terrorist attacks, that this is now following the Hamas terrorist attacks that we believe are seeing upwards of 1,200 people in Israel killed, another 2,700 wounded. Soros still to this day has not explained why he has been funding a pro-Hamas group called Al-Shabaka, which celebrated the terrorist invasion. It turns out, though, that Soros has an even longer history of supporting Hamas. He wrote that piece in 2007 in the wake of the bloody 2006-2007 Fatah-Hamas conflict, carnage in the Battle of Gaza in June 2007 that resulted in Hamas taking over. So with $500,000, you look at it and go, okay, are they here? Are we funding people inside our borders? Is that what this is? Then you look at things like what happened yesterday, among more than one, but this one was significant in terms of its size, a Free Palestine rally in Dearborn, Michigan. By the way, Free Palestine does not mean, hey, we want to live peaceably. It means we want more than what we've got, and we're willing to take it from Israel. It says a Free Palestine rally was held in Dearborn, Michigan on Tuesday with elected officials and community organizations from across the Detroit area, featuring cheers for the Hamas terrorist organization and chants for the destruction of the state of Israel. If you haven't seen it, the images are out there on social media. It occurred in a place called the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. It's like a large theater, so it was an indoor event. It said nothing about the 1,200 Israelis that had been murdered at all. They had chants of, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, meaning that's the entire state of Israel, by the way, between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And they chanted things like, with our souls, with our blood, we will defend you, O Al-Aqsa, which is a radical Islamic chant. And they went on, though, to have speakers, Palestinian and Muslim activists, and, oh, by the way, a representative of the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. Yeah. Another speaker also claimed that white supremacists carry Israeli flags, which is rather bizarre when you consider the fact that white supremacists are typically anti-Semite. That happened in Dearborn, Michigan. But then you look at things like, who else is operating in and around and among us? How about this? Story on Free Beacon. The Biden administration earlier this year, this story came out yesterday, earlier this year tapped the Council on American Islamic Relations. That's CAIR, C-A-I-R. If you're not familiar with CAIR, they are notoriously anti-Semite. They are activist Islamic organization more than, I mean, they like to portray themselves as, we're just helped here to help with the narrative and the shared expression between our cultures. No, they're not. Not at all. The Biden administration earlier this year tapped the Council on American Islamic Relations for an initiative to help curb anti-Semitism. Well, that's like the fox guarding the hen house. What the heck? I mean, who writes the script for these people in the Biden administration? Who is it that they sit down and go, you know what, I'm going to vet this for you because I just think that's a bad idea. No, apparently nobody. They got a bunch of skulls full of mush who did their, you know, their tenure at some Ivy League radical institution and then got a job in the Biden administration, started going, here's a good idea. Let's find the most radical anti-Semite organization we can find and put them in charge of helping us be less anti-Semite. Awesome. The White House announced in May that the Council on American Islamic Relations would take its part in the national strategy to combat anti-Semitism, to educate religious minority communities on how to protect their houses of worship from hate. There you go. At the time, critics slammed the White House for partnering with CAIR, which has a long history of anti-Semitism. And now, oh, by the way, CAIR is condoning the attacks in Israel. So let me get this straight. The Biden administration wants to promote, you know, basically a reversal of what they consider to be an anti-Semite trend. So they go find an anti-Semite organization and they put them in charge of trying to reverse the trends that that organization stands for. And then when we have the attacks on Israel and thousands are dead and wounded, that organization that they put in charge of trying to, you know, develop relations with the Jews is cheering the death of the Jews. Does anybody else see this? And that's in America. That's your presidential administration. How about this one? The feds have prevented over 160 people on the terror watch list from crossing U.S. borders illegally, the highest total ever recorded by DHS. Says federal, this is from the New York Post, dated today. Dated 2 weeks ago. Federal law enforcement stopped 160 people listed on the terror watch list from entering the U.S. illegally at America's borders, the highest number ever. The worrying number is the huge increase on the 98 of potential... The huge increase of potentially dangerous assailants nabbed last year as thousands of people continue to flood into the country illegally. They point out that in the year 2021, there were only 16 people on the terror watch list who were detained at the border. Huh. Before that, the numbers were as low as 2 or 6. So far this year, 160. You can't make this stuff up. This is why we have to keep our heads on a swivel. I'm not saying we're going to live in fear. I'm not going to stop going out to eat with my wife. I'm not going to stop, you know, going to church on Sunday morning. But I'm going to be aware of my surroundings, and I'm going to make sure that I am not just blithely unconscious to things that are happening. And if I see something, I'm going to say something. Last story here I got in this segment, New York Post. City Hall says New York City does not face a terror threat, but cops are stepping up patrols in Jewish neighborhoods. That's part of it, by the way. And good on them. Good on them. And I would say this. I would say that now is the time for every mayor of every town to just go ahead and have the brief interaction that it takes. Maybe you want a full briefing. I don't know. But I think that every town, especially the major metropolitans, but every town, Huntsville, Birmingham, Coleman, Gadsden, Tuscaloosa, everywhere, Montgomery, all the way throughout, Nashville, all the surrounding communities, Chattanooga, name it, name your town. All of them, the mayor should be looking at the police chief going, all right, listen, chief, go ahead and dust off your contingency plans. Make sure you go where everybody is. Make sure your staffing is where it needs to be. Do what you got to do. Position assets in the right places. And let's do some presence patrols and make sure that we're keeping our heads on a swivel. That needs to be happening. That needs to be happening. But the citizenry has to do it too. I mean, the police force can respond, and they should, and they're the ones who are trained, and they're also qualified, and they have the substantive ability to interdict. But citizens have a right to defend. And so if you see something, say something. That's what I'm saying. Keep your head on a swivel. Friday is it's here. It's upon us. And I'm just – but it's not just Friday. Once we get to Saturday, don't take your head off the swivel. Right? Don't take your head off the swivel. Last thing, real quick, a couple of text messages. Ben's from Marshall County says, Putin told Israel and Hamas stop fighting, but he's still fighting Ukraine. Putin's a thug. Okay, there you have it. Steve from Tennessee says, when trying to get to the Iranian influence roots in our government, do not lose sight of Obama's Svengali Valerie Jarrett. She's an Iranian mole. Still there. Is she still there? Man, Steve, thanks, man. Appreciate you, as always. And then JT Lacey Springs, time to be an owl. They can turn their head 135 degrees in another direction. All right, man, let's take a break right now. We'll take the break. We're going to switch gears. We're going to laugh a little bit. And then again, we might also just get irritated because I'm about to head next into adventures in woke world. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.